Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to know that you are here in the form of the Holy Spirit in a way that you have not been here for a long, long time, Lord, when you visited the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus to bring forth your word, covered your church in its inception and went away, only filling believers with the Holy Ghost, even as with Israel. You hovered them. You disappeared. You came back. You came back to the temple. You went away again and came down in the form of human flesh. We realize that we are waiting for that great day when once more that human flesh becomes the tabernacle of you, and we'll crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we know that's true. And we know, Lord, it's true for us because we look for you according to the Scripture. We thank you for it, Lord, that our hope is built on nothing less than the absolute vindicated word of Almighty God Himself in the presence of that one who appeared to Mary, hovered her, and she became the mother of that one we call Jesus Christ the Child. So, Lord, we're thankful that we are in a day that history is being fulfilled, in the greatest day ever. We appreciate that. And we pray, Lord, that our appreciations will become stronger and stronger, that we'll believe as we never believed before. And our lives will be consecrated to it. Help us in this service as we bring the word. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to carefully, if I can, just sort of review material we've taken. And this is number 15 in Perfect Faith. And in this message on perfect faith, Brother Branham gives us to understand that his definition of perfect faith is a faith that is related to the rapture. Perfect faith is related to the rapture more so than it is where you develop yourselves in the faith that God has given you so that you may have every answer to every request. Of course, you know that that, of course, is a very superficial idea that we would have every answer to every request, because many times we don't even know what we're asking for. Many times, as James said, we consume it upon our lusts. It would be better to put it into the proper context, and that is every promise which is in the book and is available to us, considering our condition. And that would mean why we wanted it, what we would do with it when we got the answer. Now, Brother Branham, however, in perfect faith is referring more to the thought of a rapturing faith. And so we're going to read, first of all, on page 8, paragraph 39. And he said, "Now, I want you to get this. The church has got to lift itself in the power of God. How? We are too close to the end now, and I believe the church is in a condition where we can teach it some little deeper things and rub some of these make-believes out and get into something real. See, it's got to be something you know." All right? On page 20, paragraph 114, we also read here, "So when a man lives by faith and walks by faith," I mean substance faith, "he's isolated from the entire world and becomes a new creature in Christ." There, now you're going to get into bride material, see? You're getting into rapturing condition now. Now, you know the rapture could not take place until a certain period of time. Paul could believe for it, no use believing for it. He knew it was going to happen. Didn't happen his time. Irenaeus could believe for it, and he did believe for it. It wasn't going to happen in his time. It couldn't happen until the end of the seventh church age when the fullness of the Gentiles is completed. So when Brother Branham is talking about this, you know that when he refers over here, which I just read on page 8 and 39, he said the church has to have the power to lift itself. In other words, the power of God has to come into the church somehow, and the church would have to be in a position to receive it. And, of course, the first position would have to be the hour. You must understand that. Because no matter how perfect your faith is or how wonderful it would be, You can't have God going ahead of his plan. So he's mentioning here then, and we're looking at this perfect faith in relationship to the rapture itself. Now, I want to go back to page 8 again, and paragraph 130, paragraph 39, and the last sentence when he's talking about this faith that the church has to have, he says it's got to be something that you know. Something that you know. Now, that defines a characteristic of rapturing faith. The characteristic of rapturing faith is something that you know. Okay, the word knowledge comes from the Latin word scio, which means to know, science. And science, of course, is based strictly upon that which you can prove. You have a way of proving because you handle it, you see it. There's something there that is very definitive. So when Brother Branham speaks of something that you have to know, he would be seemingly contradicting what is said on page 6 and paragraph 26 to 28. Now, he's not contradicting, but just listen. Now, we want to speak at this time upon faith and a different type of faith, perfect faith. That's a great thing. Now, about faith, we're told in the Bible, faith coming by hearing. Now, you notice he says, now about faith, and he doesn't say perfect faith. He's talking to you what the faith is mentioned in the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Without faith, impossible is God. Faith, some things hoped for, the other things not seen. Just to live by faith. All right. That's Bible commentary. But you cannot find actually a word in there that says a perfect faith. I looked it up in the concordance this morning. The closest you're going to come to is James. Let faith have her perfect way, her perfect work. And things like that. You can come to a place. So he said, now that's a great thing. Now, faith, we're told in the Bible, faith cometh by hearing. Now, you cannot be saved without faith. And faith has to do with something that you have to believe is there. That's really nothing else will declare it's there but faith. Now, you're getting away from science. You're getting away from knowledge that way. Now, there's two kinds of knowledge. There's faith knowledge and there's science knowledge or sense knowledge. We know that. But so we have to watch carefully what he's saying here because we want to bring it right back to something you can know. Of course, if you're blind to it, you know, you can walk into a telephone post with your eyes open. See? Now, I'm trying to bring faith to you so that you can be ready for this prayer line the next few minutes. Okay, that's the faith we're looking at. Now, concerning faith, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And it's impossible to please God without faith. And if you say you believe God, and you have never, but you've never seen him, then you've got to believe it by faith. And if you could see him, it would be no more faith, see? Anything that the senses declare is no more faith. It's a scientific fact. See? It's no more faith. But you have to accept him by faith. And he that cometh to God must believe God, and faith comes by hearing the word of God, see? You must first believe this is God's word, and you must come to God by his word, see? Just take the word, what it says, and that's right. Everything else, contrary to it, is not right. Now, that's good. Abraham had to believe just what that voice told him. Now, you're getting into your senses there because you got a hearing. Of course, you realize the person standing beside Abraham would not hear him. See, there's nothing that says that the people heard what the Apostle Paul heard in the road to Damascus. They knew there was a light. And there was some kind of a sound. The same as when God spoke to Jesus, they said it thundered. He said, no, it wasn't thunder at all. He misunderstood. God speaking to Moses on Sinai was the same effect. Same effect. They said it was thundering and lightning. All right? Abraham had to just believe what that voice told him when he was 100 years old. 25 years later, he was stronger believing it than he was 25 years before it was given to him. See, he believed it. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. In other words, relying upon his senses or any knowledge which is apart from a faith knowledge. See? But was strong, giving praise to God, knowing that he was able to perform what he had promised. If you want to really see this, you should have seen Brother Bosworth just before he died. You couldn't believe he was dying. There was no more funereal atmosphere than nothing. But you had to live like that to die like that. And God was more real to him in his physical deteriorated condition than he'd ever been before. And 2 hours before he died, he was sitting up shaking hands with all the departed saints he'd known. Well, he said, hallucinate, fine, just let me hallucinate the same way. No problem. No problem. See, you can't put God in the test tube, but you can pretty close to do it in this last hour. All right. And that's the way everyone must be. You must come with an unfailing faith, believing that God made the promise. God made the promise. You believe in his integrity? All right. But now you have to be in a position to have that faith, and that's what we're going to talk on, see, to receive that faith. Now, you notice all along here, he's talking, it's almost like a mixed metaphor. Actually, you've got your channels interweaving. He's going from simple faith to a perfect faith. He's going back and forth, and you'll just watch this as we go along here. All right. So it would seem that he's, I'd like to say, well, he said there's something you got to know, and knowledge comes by senses, and he turns around and says there's no way your senses can apprehend it, and yet you can know. Now, there's got to be a place in there where they come together. And that's what we're looking at in this message, and that's what we're trying to get to you all along the 14 other messages I've been taking from this. Now, let's go on then and see what he says concerning faith, the perfect faith, and that's going to be page 15, 82 to 92. I've got to watch this, or I'm going to get all mixed up like they're seemingly doing right now. I'll be able to sort that out. 82 to 92. Elijah was just as calm as he could be. Now, this is the Mount Carmel showdown, where Elijah is coming against the 400 prophets of Baal. And remember, Elijah is God's prophet. He's not just a prophet of God. He is God's prophet. And that's the big thing you want to watch here. Okay, Elijah was just as calm as he could be, and he said to those prophets of Baal who were screaming and cutting themselves and doing everything, call a little louder. He said, maybe he's pursuing. You know, he's out hunting. Maybe he's on a fishing trip even, sitting down and gone to sleep, you know, by his line there. Maybe he's doing something else. I don't know. You folks should know. But he's gone out somewhere. He just made fun of them because he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. Now, one place you don't know, the next place you do know, and both places you do know, but you don't know in one place like you do know the other place. See, that's not a tongue twister, that's the truth. Oh, watch when he got everything in order. He walked out there and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Never called him by his name, Jacob the shyster, the planner. He called him Israel, prince with God. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of that prince Jacob, let it be known today that I am your servant, and I have done this not at my desire, not at my makeup, or something I made up, but at your command have I done this. It was your will. You told me what to do. You showed me these things, what would be here. Now, I poured the water upon the altar. I've done all these things according to your command. Now let it be known. And when he said that, fire fell down from heaven. He was just as confident it was going to fall because he had the substance. Why? The word had said so. Now, this same Bible is the same God's word. And when you can receive the substance, that's perfect faith. See? Substance that this promise that God made is yours. Now, dealing, of course, in perfect faith concerning us, he's letting you know here that you can have from this word, without divine intervention, the same as Elijah had. Because remember, Elijah had the word. He had the first 5 books. And he had the traditions of everything that had happened from the judges and from Samuel, which was a great, great personage. He understood all about history. But he had divine intervention. See? Same as Ezekiel had visions of God. A divine intervention. Now, Brother Branham is specifically telling us, a divine intervention is not necessary for you and me for the perfection of our faith. Although with the rapturing faith we go deeper because we've got to know something we cannot know by our own faith being perfected.
You follow what I'm saying? We're coming then to the apex of what these things are. Now, greeting. How do you feel, Brother Branham, when you stand there and see people coming in different languages and things? Are you afraid? No, sir. No, sir. He said it. Never been afraid yet because he told me so. And I believe what he told me to be the truth. See? Now listen. If he told me tonight, now this will cause any man's hair to turn a shade whiter. Challenge the statement. If he told me tonight to go to the presidential graveyard and raise up George Washington tomorrow morning, I'd invite the whole world, come and see it done. You say, well, that's a pretty safe thing because God ain't going to do that. I agree God's not going to do it. But what if God did make the challenge? So you say, well, I don't think. There you are. You see, you don't believe God at all. You just said you did. Who told you to interpret any part of God's word as though God couldn't do what he wanted to do? Because God has put his own interpretation on his own limitations. And if there's no scripture against this, you tell me then why God can't do it. God can do it. And if it was in his plan, he sure would do it too. Remember, the first man that got taken off of this earth without dying was who? Old Enoch. The next man was Elijah. I want you to find some place in the book of Genesis where the word of God said that a man would be taken off the earth or that no man could be taken off the earth. Now, I can take scripture right now and prove to you that no man can be taken off the earth because it is appointed unto man once to die. But you see, there's other scripture balances it. And shows you that we're all appointed to die except under certain circumstances. And that's at the end time as the rapture takes place. We will not die. We'll be standing here made immortal. So God has already typed in Enoch and Elijah what we're going to have. And what poor old Adam and the human race missed by taking the tree of death, good and knowledge, instead of the tree of life. They both stood there. So he said, I challenge you, come and see it done. Bring every critic you can stand around. You're going to see the glory of God. Actually, he said in another place, if God told me to go and raise Abraham Lincoln, I would do it. Challenge the armies of the earth to shoot me down if I couldn't do it. Just like he told that Armenian doctor over there in California. The doctor said, there's no use you praying, Reverend Branham. You are disturbing her. She is dying. Do not give her false hope. You are cruel. You are a terrible person. He said, listen, doctor, I'm going to tell you something. You put a sign on my back tomorrow morning, she's not living and doing your work. And I will go down this main street of Los Angeles, and you honking your horn behind me in your car riding, drawing people's attention, and on my back and my front will be a sign saying, false prophet. But if she's risen tomorrow morning and doing her work, then I will ride in the car, and you will wear a sign in front back saying, quack, doctor. You didn't have the guts to take it up. Well, I'll say this about him. He saved the day preaching the gospel. That woman's living. I believe it's her husband gave Brother Branham a certified check for $1.5 million. He didn't say, hallelujah, God's holding me hostage just to get me out of the pit. I want you to know something, brothers. You were dealing with a man, William Branham, the caliber. I've never seen him like that. I've met all these men. I've met all the 20th century big shots, except Billy Graham. I don't need to meet him because he doesn't come under the line of Pentecost and charismatic. I'm over him. He's too cautious for my kind of game anyway. Too cautious, what I believe. You can't be cautious these days. You've got to commit yourself. Nice brother, no problem with him at all, but he's too cautious. I've known men of the last age. No one came near this man. Historians will tell you the same thing. The perfect ministry since the time of Jesus Christ. So bring the critics. Set that chair over there where you can sit down and rest a while. He'll be here in just a moment, as soon as I call. That night when that little boy in Finland that day, rather lying there dead, been lying there half an hour mashed, Blood running out of his eyes, nose, ears, his little legs broken up in his stockings. Feet were out of the ends of his stockings, shoes gone. I looked and I thought, that ought to be that boy. I said, hey, look in that Bible back there, Brother Moore. It was in a vision. They wrote it down. It was in the Bible they came. We got Brother Lindsay, Brother Moore, look there, right in the back of the Bible. It'll come to pass that the Lord, oh my, there will be a land where there's lots of evergreens growing, rocks heaped together. A little boy with a cropped haircut, little panty waist button up here. His stockings pulled up high, have brown eyes, be turned back, if you're not molested, but laying hands on him, he'll come back to life. There it was written in the Bible. There he laid, amen, just waiting the word. And I said, if this boy's alive in a couple of minutes from now, then I'm a false prophet, run me out of Finland. But he's alive. If he is alive, fall on your face, repent. That boy is alive today. I said, death, you can't hold him. I called for his spirit according to the word of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he jumped up. Right, see? Faith took hold. God said so. There it is. Now, listen. That's God speaking in this day through vision. Now, that's William Branham in his faith. But hear this. If that vision was contrary to this Bible, that would be wrong. This Bible is more than the vision. Only man ever knew to say that. Everybody gets something, they run with it. Pentecostals went plumb away from the Word of God. Not all, but it runs in the streak, it runs there. That as soon as something gets somebody, something whereby he thinks he has a vindication, then he takes a position he should not take, which lowers the Word. Brother Branham never, ever lowered that Word. He used everything to exalt the Word. And watch what he says. This is more than the vision. If any vision's contrary to the Word, leave it alone. It isn't the God. God doesn't contradict his own Word. So if this Word told you something, then you can have the same confidence then that's going to happen. In other words, he said, it came in a vision to me. And it happened 100%. Now he said, that's great. But that's still not it. This is it. And he says, you have in your lives the same thing and greater than I've got even in my life if you'll only take it and understand what's being said. Now let's apply then this Bible to you and me. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Well, brother, if faith, that perfect faith got hold. In other words, if you let your own faith come to that position in this realm of faith. Because look, there's nothing you will ever do to bring about a rapture. You can believe and get healed. I told you way back years ago I had this back problem. I got back problem right today. I don't worry about it anymore because I'm going out here anyway. Back in those days, I had more than a fighting chance. That back was bad. So I lay in bed one night and I think, oh man, that's just about, you know, it's about killing me. So after I got to the place, I said, phooey. So if I lay in a certain position, I would, you know, get the pain. So I deliberately lay in that position one night and I was just fighting the devil, fighting the pain, fighting anything. And after about 20 minutes, I said, oh, you got me. I had to unbend. I said, that's okay, devil. Round one, you won. Coming up round number two. And I fought that all night long. Gone. Never came back. That's not perfect faith. That's just a matter of using faith. And you can use your faith if you use the Word of God, understand the principles. You can come to a place where you can receive the promises. But there's certain things, it's outside of you entirely. That's what comes to you, and you believe that. And that becomes a perfect faith that you can use as a launching pad to go further in your own faith. You follow what I'm saying? So try to follow me because, look, we've been doing this 14 times, and I'm sure you got it by now. All right. They shall lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. Well, brother, if faith, that perfect faith got hold of that, when you passed in by this prayer line, you'd be jumping and shouting when you left here. Now, he's already told you, what? That this little boy, through a vision, was brought back from the dead. And that vision was not to be compared with this book. But the vision did come out of the book on the grounds that it specifically states in the book that this is possible. Don't you understand? He's saying, look, I'm standing here now, the same person. Can you now come to this line and believe? Certainly you should be able to come to this line and believe. You're not laying hands on yourself. I'm laying hands on you. then will you not be healed? You see, what he's doing here is using this. God, in his grace and mercy, has given this 20th century church a position in the Laodicean age, taking her from abysmal corruption and complete undoneness, a mental, a physical, and spiritual insanity, to a wholeness in God if she wants it. Now, the brother, sister, listen. Please understand what I'm saying. This is what God says about this. So, brother, I don't believe it's this age. Well, look, you believe what you want. But you're going to come to this sometime. If not now. Because, he said here, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. You make me vomit. Because he says, because you say, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, and don't know, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're blind, you're naked. He said, I count you, come to me. And the church evidently hasn't come to him. The church has kicked him out. That's the end of this age. Now, God giving grace. To realize here is a vindicated prophet to let you know that these promises are yours. Proving the word of God that doesn't need to be proved. Setting the church in order. If he says they lay hands upon the sick, they shall recover. Well, brother, if faith, that perfect faith, got hold of that. Prophet in the word. Demonstrated. When you pass by this prayer line, you'd be jumping and shouting when you left here. You'd say, it's over, it's over, it's all over, it's finished. If you had a request in your heart and believed that when that prayer was made for you. Notice, you're not praying, the prayer is made for you. That was going to be answered. There isn't anything to stop it. That's what's going to happen, like the little woman with the blood issue, you know, and she touched his garment. All right. Now, what he is presenting here is about himself as a prophet because it is based on Jesus the prophet. Parallel ministries. Now that sounds strange, but we got the understanding from the Bible on that. But we'll read what he says. Okay? We'll go then to page 12, 68 to 71. And we'll read here, 68. Now, the only thing you have to do then is have faith in what you are, have faith in what the Word says you are. Now, he's making a statement here how to bring your faith up to where it hasn't been in your experience, but you maybe have had problems with using your faith. You say, what are the principles? Now, let's watch it. Now, the only thing you have to do then is to have faith in what you are. Have faith in what the Word of God says you are, because you can't have faith in what you are as a person. You've got to have faith in what God says you are. And Jesus had faith in the Word of God that said what he was. It is written to me. Didn't David and the Psalms and the prophets all that speak of him, that Jesus the Christ? I am the bread of life that came from God out of heaven. Amen. I am that tree of life in the Garden of Eden. I am all these things. I am that I am. And he knew with that perfect faith that he was the anointed Messiah, that the Spirit of God was upon him, and he said, now watch where his perfect faith lay, knowing who he was and how it happened. Now I in myself do nothing, but it's my faith in God. And God was in him, the Word made manifest. And when the Word of God comes in you, it's made manifest as you are a believer, see. And a believer is the faith of God that moves in you. In other words, you are a believer because the faith of God is actually in you. And that's true because that's what the Bible said, have the faith of God. You don't have your own. The Bible says the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not give you credit for your own faith. It is the first thing that's born into you when you're born again. Faith. Faith is the first step in 1 Peter. Knowing who he was without a shadow of doubt, he knew he was the Son of God. He knew it. For the Word identified him. The Word of God identified who he was. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. See? Repeat. If I don't do the works, don't believe me. But if I do, then believe the works. For they are the manifest word promised. Certainly. Because man's word will not do with what was being done. That's the point. Oh, if you could just wake up to that. Get it? You see, the Word itself identified him, who he was. And he said, who can condemn me of sin? In other words, who can show me that my life and my works don't fulfill exactly what Messiah should do? Nobody could say anything. For he was. He was that person. Then he had faith to believe. Then whatever he said happened. In other words, he is letting you know in the ministry of Jesus Christ, before he became fully identified with God himself and the scripture, in order to present, well, he was identified, in order to present himself to the people, God had to deal with him specifically. And the specific dealing with him made him to know progressively that God heard every word that he was saying, and that word evidently was the word of God and would bring everything to pass exactly how it was said. Now then he turned and said, the works that I do shall you also. A little while the world sees me no more, yet you shall, because I'll be with you even in you. Take no thought what you shall say, for it's not you that speak, it's the Father dwelling in you. He's the one who speaks and he's speaking. It is not I, it's the Father that dwells in me. He does the work. See what I mean? Now, as to the identification of scriptural Christian, these words said Jesus, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now look, I know people are going to get thrown on that statement, and it's not the kind of statement you think it is, because automatically the mind goes to signs. Then any failure to bring a sign condemns you. The mind must go to what you are, a believer. You do not produce the signs. You are not a sign person. You are not a sign producer. You are a believer. God produces the signs. So your categorization is first of all believer. And if you never saw a sign, that doesn't have too much to do with it. Now signs are there. And any church that doesn't accept them and doesn't try to follow is a pretty poor church. We recognize it. But remember, the statement is that you are a believer. And out of your believing can come different things. Out of your believing can come not one single sign, my brother and my sister, that you are a Christian according to miracles. But you could be taken to the lions and gladly chewed up for God. Are burnt at the stake, or torn in shreds by wild animals, put in a leather bag with serpents and thrown in the sea, like the time of the Inquisition. In other words, you could suffer every single thing the church would heap on you, or someone would because they got mad at the church. You wouldn't show one sign except what? Your perseverance, your testimony to Jesus Christ. So don't get carried away on a lot of things that are being said. Keep them in their perspective. Keep them right with the Word at all time, or you will botch up just as sure as you're alive. See, all right. Your identification. First of all, you're a believer. And signs will believe, will come. You'll have some. You'll have something evidence in there. How can you call yourself a believer and deny any of this Word? Now, there you are right there. Many a person will have signs and disbelieve what God said happened in the end time. False anointed ones. So we've got a very narrow road to travel here. A very narrow light to look into. Not some big broad light, it's a spotlight. Very fine spot, very fine pinpoint almost. You're not a believer, therefore signs can't follow you because you just accept what you want to believe and leave the rest of it out. You won't and don't believe it, but you've got to take the whole thing and believe it. And when you truly believe, not make believe, but really believe, these signs will surely follow those believers. That's about as far as you need to go there. Now, on page 26, I want to get to paragraph 148 to 154. Look, he knew that he pleased God. That's Jesus. He knew there was nothing, no blot in his life. God had already testified that by saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I well pleased. Hear him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. In the day of his baptism, I'm pleased to make my abode in here. There's no condemnation in him at all. Now, when the same God comes to you and is pleased to dwell in you, pleased to honor your word, what your decision is, now watch. He's going to get very deep here. So don't get carried away too far. What was Joshua's decision? Stand still, son. Now, he's first of all talked about Jesus. Now he's talking about this man who stopped, made the sun stand still. Stood still there. Sure, amen. What was Moses' decision? Held his stick over the river. Called it to open. It opened. See, it's whatever you ask, and if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt, see it in your heart now. You gotta, don't doubt. But believe that what you've said will come to pass. You can have it, what you said. Now, how are you going to go before God and out of your mouth is going to come something that you know is going to come to pass just because you said it? There's no way. No way. You'd have to have God's own word somehow given to you for that occasion. And you would be a spokesman. It's just like prophecy. The prophet does not make anything come to pass. The prophet is only a voice to you and to me. God uses him and lets him in on what God's going to do, and he tells us. That's all. That's all. God's his own prophet, but he uses sounding boards, reflectors. If you say this mountain be moved and don't doubt, see in your heart, but you believe what you've said will come to pass, you can have it. Remember, Jesus said, my words are of God. My words are God's word. What I hear him say, I say. What I see him do, I do. That puts you back in the word. Now, that's not skim milk. I know it's going to jump over the top of you here, see, because it can't anchor. It didn't either. He was telling them flat, look, I have the same ability because God puts his words in my mouth. I'm not thinking my own thoughts. I'm not asking my own desires. But you notice something? Joshua needed that sun to stand still. When he needed that sun to stand still, what did God do about it? The sun had to stand still because those fellows would have got away. Night would have come, they'd have got away. That's just true. And God doesn't say, now look, General, I'm going to expect you to have, you know, cat's eyes in the dark or something. It was a logical thing. Now, if the sun would stand still, so the sun should stand still. Night should not come on. Something should happen. That's all. So what does a man do? In his mouth comes the word of God. Sun stands still. Sun stood plumb still. Now listen, here's what he says. I've seen it, friend. I've seen the same thing in my ministry. Here's the Bible lying open before me. I've seen it happen. I know it's the truth. I know. God in heaven knows that I might not live through to finish his name, but I know it happened. I've seen it myself. I'm witness. I'm a witness of that word being fulfilled. And I know it is the truth. Say it. Stand there and see the Creator bring a living creature into existence. So I don't believe that. Then Moses, what was Moses doing? Bring on the flies. The flies came. Bring on the fleas came. Bring on the frogs. The frogs came. Bring on the moraines. The moraines came. Bring the blood. The blood came. Bring the hailstones. The hail came. They bring on death. I'm going to ask you, who spoke those words? Moses. Where did he get them? In a showdown. God did it. You know, people are so far removed in their thinking from the living God and from their hearts. And remember, he's outside the church. We've got a job ourselves this morning. I don't think we spend near the time we should. I know I don't. I know your meetings you have where you come and talk the words is. It's the greatest thing ever happened to this church. Other churches say they can't work it. I don't know why they can't work it. You people here work it. It's going to do something for you. And I know it's the truth. God brought a creature in existence right in the presence of your eyes. Keep shaking your head and wonder. Then look around and see him bring another one just exactly like it because you said so. Come over here and say, there'll be another one there. And look, and there it is. Now that's the truth. Oh, where should we be? There's perfect faith. Perfect faith in this category. Now we want to get your faith in your category. You know, brother, sister, this is so simple that we've lost the simplicity. What's the first thing the teacher did in trying to show you how to write or print? Well, you got to get your tongue out. Always. You got to get the balance like the cat in its tail. You got balancing features. You got kid got tongue. I never did do that. It likely slapped me when I was going through having done. But you know, what you do? The teacher did it. And you said the teacher did. That's how it's done. In other words, you took that to be the true A and the true E. And you did it. And you followed in. You say, hey, that's the example of the ability to write, and I can do it. Not by precept. Teach by example, not precept. Very few people can use example when it comes to too much in the Word of God. It all falls to precept, and that's the big trouble in the church today. We need more example. This example. Okay. There's perfect faith. No vision, just speak the Word. Never saw the squirrel. He just said this scripture, what it was, that was what? Mark 11:23. Say to this mountain, be moved. Speak the word, that what you say will come. So he said to the prophet, what do you want? Now I know the world can deny this. Say, well, William Branham never spoke the word, and squirrels came to existence. Well, then neither did Moses. Say, well, Moses is different. How do you know? Where do you get the scripture for it that God couldn't create through people? Or people create through God, how you want to put it. Where do you get it? You got faith to believe that you giving this word of God to people will mean their salvation. You're sick. You got to be sick. Creation is nothing alongside of a man's salvation. Opening the Red Sea is nothing alongside of a man's salvation. So you believe the great thing because why? Well, anybody can talk. Everybody does talk. Then deny the lesser? That's what Brother Branham is pointing out here. All these things like Moses and all the prophets and anything he did or Jesus did is the lesser. It's pointing to the great God and His Word. So that when you now are faced with precept, which is based upon literally example. True. Because everything's after the fact. And the fact is example. And after the fact is precept. Establishing laws. You know that it works. Now I hope your faith is getting somewhere because I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking this way. And I know what it can do to you. We have never had our hands anything this explosive, brother, sister. Never anything in history since the time of Jesus Christ. See? Now, it'll come to pass. That puts you back in the Word. He said that. Now, down here, perfect faith. In other words, Brother Branham is right back here in the way it was done in the Word, the example, to get the precept, to get the principle, to get the moral, to get the guidelines. Yep. Just speak the word. Oh, where should we be? There's perfect faith. No vision, just be the word. Never saw the square. Just said this is scripture. Mark 11:23. Speak it. Don't doubt. Now remember, when Brother Branham, by his own words, admitted that he began to chicken out on what he said, God said, but you said three. When he said, I'll stop at two. Two's enough. Well, Lord, I really overshot my mark. I'd be satisfied with two out of three. But you said three. Turn over, okay. I think that's fantastic. That's right, just that part. And listen, and friend, as your pastor, that's just as powerful as it was when Joshua stopped the sun, because the sun was already there, the elements were moving, and he stopped the movement. But this, he brought something there that wasn't there. He created. I'm so glad to be acquainted with the God that can take this dust of the earth someday that I don't see. And where am I off to now? Anyway, he talks about the resurrection, but I got to find that for you. Just give me a minute here, or several minutes, whatever it's going to take. I was kind of afraid this might happen. Here we are. Okay. I know it's here. Someday, he'll call me back to life again after I've been planted in the grave. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary. You say it and don't doubt, but believe that what you said, you shall have what you said. See, believe that it'll happen. David in the psalm spoke of him, and with it he took his power and he ministered to others. Now watch. Not only was it a treasure in himself, or a power in himself, a gift in himself and to himself, and for himself, but he ministered to others by it. Now, how was the gift in himself and for himself? Only because it gave him that strength and that faith to operate for the people and get the people in the realm where they could breathe and see the things of God for themselves. See? He ministered to others by it, also saved others, even got a most. And he can do the same now. And promise the same faith to the believers in his word. John 14:12, Mark 11:23, and even Mark 16. Now watch. In this last hour he has appeared to us in the same form he did in the Old Testament. That's when he appeared to the pillar of fire to Moses. The same as he did in the New Testament, which is to Paul. The pillar of fire came, that's right. And showed by the same word the same Christ right now. Remember, the Bible distinctly says the cloud that followed in the pillar of fire was Christ, and the rock was Christ. And when Paul spoke back to the light, "Who are you?" he said, "I am Jesus." So what will it be now if this is the truth right there, taken by a camera? So, well, I don't think God takes pictures by camera. Well, that's what you think anything you want. But no problem, you just think what you want. What if he did? How are you? Sure, I don't know that he did. Well, see, there you are. I declare to you that Christ is the Holy Ghost. The word Christ means the anointed one. Just a person that's anointed. That is the Christ, the anointed one. Remember, God anointed Jesus who went about doing good things. Anointed with the Holy Ghost. How many know that's true? That's good. The anointed one, that would be a man, they'd be anointed. Now you bring it right back to yourself. Acts 13 tells the same thing. Okay. A man approved to God. And God is doing the works. In other words, back there was God in the man. Today it's God through a man. It's simple. It's ABC. All right. Now, with this, we want to continue reading. And he says here, "And now we become anointed with the same Spirit, anointed Messiahs, Messiahs of the last day, to shine forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to show that he is not dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost." Now, let me tell you something. You show me a church that can do that. There's no way. It's got to be one person. God never, ever used a bunch. He never sent a lot of sons down, said, "I'm going to have a lot of bodies down here, a little group, and I'll be, put my spirit in each one of them. One man, and I'll enter him." See? Now watch. He's in his people, moving among his bride. In baptism of the Holy Ghost, among the pillar of fire himself. With a love affair to her, pouring out her into her, himself. They are becoming one for the wedding supper. And the same signs promised by the same God in the same word is making the same manifestations. Now, he said, there's nothing. Now, here's where your perfect faith comes in to his perfect faith. So that you will develop your own perfect faith, which is not this. Okay, there's nothing left for us to do but believe it. And believing it is the substance. And that creates a perfect faith. Just think how numb we are. Just think about that for a minute. See? How many people believed it? We don't know how many believed it, but there is what you're looking at. See? Perfectly to understand. Now, he says here, the ministry that returned back upon this earth in this end time is the absolute proof of the end time. Absolute proving it is God, letting you know that you are here in a position to have rapturing faith to get out of this world, complete restoration, back to the tree of life, right back to the things of God, and at the same time, no word of God is left out. And the church absolutely knows without flinching. It's a proven thing. Lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. In other words, God did not come down and say one man and say, now look, all you can do is look at this fella, and it's wonderful that I've vindicated him and I've authenticated myself, and isn't it great now? That's all there is to it. He did not say that. He took us to lift us to the highest level possible, based upon what we have seen for the first time in 2,000 years since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let me see now. I want to get back here. You got to hustle through all of this to find it somewhere. Page 16. Okay. Jesus had perfect faith. He had it, and it came because he was the Word. And you must become the Word, and you do become the Word as you receive the Word. Now, isn't that true? Now, come on. People say, I don't think that's a good statement. Oh, listen. I think it's a perfect statement. Let me just take a peek here. John the 8th chapter. I think I can find it. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to keep you too long, but anyway, we're going to look at John 8 here if I can get it. And verse 36 of John 8, he said, if the Son shall therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's seed, physically speaking, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. All right, what if the word had a place? They would have become word members, wouldn't they? They'd become word Christians. So what he says is true here. Now, why did they turn him down? They turned him down because he rebuked them for their understanding of the Word of God. And when he came with the physical manifestations, he had the right to interpret the Word of God as God had given the Word to be interpreted. And they turned it down. So therefore, they had no place for the Word. All right then, when you got a place for the Word, what are you? You're part of it. And the Word's part of you. So how do you become this, what they couldn't become? By receiving, which they didn't receive. They said, Abraham is our father. Why, we got a fine church. We trace our history back generations. We got in our blood great ancestors, no doubt about it. Well, he said, I know Abraham's your father. But if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works. Now, Abraham had 7 sons by Keturah and gave them all gifts and sent them off. Left Isaac plumb alone. You seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. They knew right away. They said, we're not Ishmaelites. We're not Cains. We're not in fornication here. Abraham did not fornicate with the handmaid of his wife. Actually, he had every right to have her. She became a wife. It was Eve that was a fornicated. She was married to Adam, and she had this handsome, big, beautifully built, dark fella. That's how the giants got in the land. People have an idea angels came down and gave themselves human bodies and impregnated women. Ha! Say that they were doing that. They'd be doing it all the time. Oh, people get so mixed up in their thinking. Read the books, you'll find out they're so scrupled up you can't believe it. Well, you know. Jesus said, if God were your father. What's that? Well, said, Abraham's my father. No, there's no doubt in the world about it, but God sure isn't. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. So God had in his mind little gods, little bits of word, little bits of manifestations. Because the child's a manifestation of his father, because the mother is part of the father. I can prove that to you, simple as ABC. So all becomes one. said, God's not your father. If he was, you'd love me. Now, what about him didn't they love? He came against their word. That's what we say here. We accept no love unless it's based on word. I am not interested. I'm sorry. Oh, I can kiss you and hug you and be nice. You fap. That's wonderful. You know, ooh, that's just being, you know, that's just being sensible. Don't dogs rub noses and lick each other? They're friendly. I don't mean to be mean, love or anything. I'm just telling you, anybody can go through the actions. We're talking about this, brother, sister. So let's not get carried away with some ideas we've got. I'm not using my ideas. I want God to correct my ideas and bring me right down to this word. Look, even if I'm a skunk, I want to know this word. Because if I'm a skunk in myself, I don't want to skunk anybody else up. To lead anybody astray is a very wicked and terrible thing. So why don't you understand me? Said, you can't hear my word. No point. He said, the lust of your father and so on. Okay, now, we're reading along here, and we're on page, page 16, I think we're supposed to be at. And I got page 16 over here, 93-94. Now I got to find page 17. I'm going to go on 16. Okay. You see, say to this mountain, be moved. And don't doubt, believe in what you said. Then you shall have what you said. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask you to have. Now see what he's saying here? He said, I stand up here in the category of Moses, and Paul, Joshua, all these men, Elijah, right down the line, a prophet, vindicated of God. Now he said, to me has been given this privilege and this position. The gift I use for myself, and I place myself in Scripture, and I understand because I must. But remember, it is actually for you. Now you hear what I am saying, and you don't buy my ministry, which has been vindicated and witnessed to by thousands and thousands of people. The whole city of Durban saw truckloads of canes and crutches and wheelchairs taken down the street in a parade haunting Brother Branham at the great meeting in Durban. It's witnessed. People know it. It's on record. Dead raised, everything else. Crippled. Cases like you can't believe. I saw with my own eyes. I was there myself. He said, that is given to let you know the perfect faith in this realm is now taking you to your perfect faith in your realm. Now, what I'm trying to get across, or you're trying to get across, is this. Look, you can have it. Meet the conditions. They are not all that rough to meet. You have everything now at your fingertips to get what you want, which is indicated here. You will go through trials. There's nobody's going to stop that. You will suffer. Nobody's going to stop that. There will be rain. There'll be clouds. There'll be snow. There'll be drift. There'll be skidding. There'll be ups. There'll be down. No one's going to stop that. No way. But you can have the promise. Now, old age doesn't have a thing to do with healing. Old age merely means this. I can't claim to live longer than 70. But it can claim to live healthy. See? It can claim the promises. You may be like Smith Wigglesworth, who had great faith. He prayed for the sick. And yet he suffered from terrible kidney stones, would go home and lie in a tub of hot water to get rested up for the next day to preach again and pray for the sick. And he felt like most preachers do that pray for the sick, that if he prayed for one whole church full and they dropped dead, he'd move to the next church and pray for those, believing that some of those wouldn't drop dead. Because they got to stand resolutely with the word of Almighty God. So he's saying here, now watch how this blends to the other. Okay. I got myself so thoroughly mixed up, I don't know if I'm going to find anything more or not. But it's all right, we just keep looking. Here's page 26 or 27, can't be too far away. Okay? Watch again. Page 150, page, paragraph 157. And he says, has he done all things well? Has he ever told us anything but what happened just exactly the way he said it? Hasn't he performed and hasn't the great pillar of fire been among and done exactly what he promised he'd do? Haven't we seen it? Hasn't science taken it after it's been predicted what would happen? Go right back there and even have it in the papers and magazines, pack it right back and show it when it's told you months before it would happen. Hasn't he done exactly the way he did in the Old Testament and the New Testament? Isn't it just exactly the same one that's doing this now in my ministry? And put that in there. The same Holy Spirit comes and is a discerner of the Word of God, which is quicker, sharper than a two-edged sword, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that right? The same man. You couldn't hide if you tried. I've seen it happen. Oil on you just like this, and brother, everything came out. You hung out in front and behind both. You couldn't hide if you tried. No man ever got away with it. What do you think this was all for? Some little sideshow? Well, isn't it nice how God did things? Hey, I like the way God does things. Isn't that something? Man, I wouldn't think he'd do that, but boy, he's a shocker, man. What did that Halloween party you ever had? Read your Bibles. Every time he did a judgment came, brother, sister, judgment came. Well, I don't think I'll read. That'll stop me from getting it. Tell that to the IRS. Go ahead. God's bigger than the IRS. Tell the cop you really stopped and he made a rolling stop with a stop sign. This is his day to get his quotas in. Go ahead and tell him. Tell the light company that you're going to get your 4% or 2% discount. You can in 3 days late. The computer set up. Isn't it the same God? Now, look. I don't think that's the way it is. What if it was? Well, let's find out. Let's investigate. No, I don't think I'll do that. I've asked my friends, I've asked my minister, and they're not interested. The same one is not a stranger far off. It's the same God. He's here. He's here, and he does this to create a perfect faith. What perfect faith? For the prophet, for the people. I know he knows all things. The Bible says he does. And I know he wants to do something. He's been doing something to create this perfect faith in this people. Are we going to walk into eternity like it was in the days of Noah with 8 souls saved? Sure thing. Are we going to come like Lot through out of Sodom? John the Baptist, 6 believers? Let us believe, for his works are perfect. They're manifested daily and perfectly amongst us, that he is that word. Hebrews 4. Think of it. The word of God is that word, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, for the word is quick and powerful, more powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit. The joint and marrow discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yeah. Yeah, it does. Hebrews 4 and 12. It also says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, brother, sister, let me ask you a question. Isn't that what prophets did? Well, how is this going to be? Well, you say, I'm going to put that way back there at the white throne. Well, that's interesting. I'm not angry at you for doing it. I'm not at all. But I want you to prove it. What if it's this side of the white throne also? See, are we going to walk in? The Word made flesh, hallelujah. The Word operating in human flesh by physical signs, by material signs, by scriptural signs, perfectly to bring you to a perfect faith, a perfect rapture. I could read on and on. I'm not going to do it. Look, you know what this sermon's all about. Brother Branham thoroughly knows that he's thoroughly identified. What spoke to him never lied, never made a mistake. He proved it by telling us thousands and thousands of times, never an error. Never any time did he make a mistake. So, well, if he had lived longer, he might have just had one mistake. How well do you read your Bibles? Because if you believe that, you're not reading your Bibles, because you're trying to put a limit and a balance on what you think is in here rather than what is not in here. Because God doesn't have to speak two times. Once is enough. He doesn't have to show it two times. Tell me, how many times did Elijah meet the prophets of Baal? How many times did Moses go through those miracles? I'll tell you something, brother, sister. Jesus Christ put Moses to shame a million different ways. He sure did. Moses spoke him. But you know that Jesus did not do the things that Moses did. I'm talking now in abundance. Moses was the meekest man that ever lived, but Jesus was meeker. Moses was the strongest man ever lived, and Jesus was stronger. He was the great one. He's the Savior. Now, Jesus made a statement concerning his own self and ministry. He said, there's going to come on the scene a person who will do greater works in number than I have done. When did Jesus have a parade in Jerusalem? With a whole string of trucks. Carloads of crutches and wheelchairs. Show me more cancer cases. You say, well, John said the whole Bible libraries couldn't contain the things that Jesus did. That's quite possible. Where's your record? Who's here to tell about? How do I know the Bible's not something just somebody made up? And the church made a tradition, said, well, you know, we keep it up to date and God speaks to us. I want to know who God speaks to. That's a laugh. I can stand here before you all and make this claim. There's none of you, all of you put together, cannot have my record of what I know has come to pass, that I know has been the voice of Almighty God based upon one thing. The thing came to pass, didn't it? You say, when the devil makes things come to pass, well, it's your privilege. You do what you want. But here was a man who had a world record greater than Jesus Christ. Not individual point per point, but in magnitude of numbers, like Jesus said in John 14 and 12. Let me read it. Something worth reading? I love that 14th chapter anyway. Verily, verily, I said, you see, not they. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, because they go to my Father. They shall lay hands upon the sick. So, what we're looking at here is this, in the message of perfect faith. From the subject material that Brother Branham has built around his sermon title, it is evident that he has taken from his own life experiences. That's all this material that makes the sermon up. He has taken from his own life experiences, drawn from and rooted in the Scripture. This faith he now exercises and presents to us, not only for our edification and evaluation, but as a working principle in our lives, so that we can come all the way from the prayer of faith to the revealed faith for rapturing. I believe that this message is taken from 1 Corinthians 13, though he didn't say so, where we read, beginning in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then shall that which is in part done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, he stood up and was counted with his own words. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So, at the time when the whole is in view, When the face-to-face, the appearing is here. Our faith is going to be magnified. Our hope is going to be magnified. Our love is going to be magnified. Because we are going to see the earnest expectation in full view, which is the which is the Word of God promised this hour. We are going to see the fulfillment on the grounds of faith. We're going to see the love of God manifest because He took time off in this age to come down and get us out of our mess. And that same faith and earnest expectation and love is going to multiply in our lives and does multiply. Now, you people know that over the last year, the last few months especially, you have felt a mellowing toward just about everybody. You're not too concerned anymore. You're just mellowed. Walk in love. Walk in faith. Something is happening. There's only one reason it's happening, because the life in the Word is being released. And I'm standing here believing, and I cannot help but believe, that what we've talked about for the last 15 times, Sundays and Wednesdays now, becoming 15 today, we have an understanding now. We know exactly what has transpired, and that is literally the spark that fires our own faith to believe as never before that we can have these promises that God has laid up. We said there's conditions we know, but the conditions can and will be met. Why? Because that same life that's released from the Word, the conduit of the Word, and we are the, let's face it, the Holy Ghost has a conduit, it is the Word, right? The Word has a conduit, which is a human body. So when you go on down from God to the final conduit, which is mankind manifesting, we know that God is moving in us in order to have what the prophet set forth in this hour. Sure, we're going to get out of here. But he said, listen, he said, that spirit, that sweet spirit of Christ, coming more and more in the church, till there won't be one sick amongst us. That spirit comes in more and more by this revealed word as we see it and understand what the prophet was saying. And he stood before those people and he said, listen, can you believe the Bible that says about Elijah? Can you believe the Bible that talks about Joshua? Can you believe the word that speaks about the prophet in this hour? Can you believe me on my own record of telling you, and you having seen exactly what happened in my meetings where it never failed once? And I'm telling you now. And he said, this is the third pull. The third pull in the church, brothers, sisters, taking place. Not the third part of the word, but the third pull with manifestation, speaking the word, has taken place. And he said, will you now take my authority, which you know is God's own authority, to believe as you never believed before, to turn your faith loose? And he stood there and he said, I is your pastor, and you believe what I said, that those squirrels came into existence. And I know that's a tough one, but it's the truth. Come into existence, because if God cannot create, then don't call him God. And if God does not create, you tell me where you find that God does not create. He doesn't create for you, that's true. That doesn't mean he doesn't create for somebody else. What would you call if God put a new leg on a person? What would you say if God put a new kidney in your body? And that is authenticated record. There's records on that. New lungs. Man with no kidney had a new kidney put in. That is absolute God's truth. It's on medical record. There's thousands of medical records what God has done. There's no church, I believe, anywhere that is bereft. Maybe the Church of Christ, maybe, because they are so desperate against the Word of God. But you know what? Some of their members did here. But there's no church, I believe, that is destitute of some record of a miracle of creation that God did them. Test your histories and find out. And why wouldn't God create a squirrel if that's what God wanted to do? That was in him. Now he said, look, if I, as your pastor, can speak according to God's word, knowing your place and my place, and that comes to pass, then when I pray for you, and I am praying and speaking these words, will you not then get what you desire? And the answer is yes. And I would to God records had been kept of that meeting. Now you say, Brother Bale, that was fine for William Branham. What about us? It's fine for us too. I am not William Branham. I cannot speak as he spoke. But I can do what he said. And that is, I don't have to speak anything into existence. But based on what has been done, I can take the same word, and you can take the same word, and stand on that word and get what God says is ours. That's true. Now, what he said was only one little thing. He said, look, if there's something wrong in your heart, get it out of there. That's all. And the second little thing, you just believe what I've told you. And that those people were perfect candidates. Now, if you get what I'm saying, you follow through this week in your mind. Gore what has been said this morning, ponder what the prophet brought out at that end of his message. Believe me, I am not lying to you. You are in a position to receive as you've never received before. Now look, Brother Branham said, I've got to decrease and he's going to increase. Did he go? He left us. And I want to ask you, who's increasing in our midst today? Then is not that word then even greater than when we first heard it? Is it not true our understanding is richer and realer when we couldn't apprehend it? We're doing it now. Then is God going to turn around and say, well, listen, I gave you your chance and you didn't get it. Say, Lord, it wasn't even there. Well, too bad then. Well, I wasn't born, Lord. Well, that's your tough luck too. Do you think God acts that way? Come on. Hundreds of years in the making and thousands of years in the proving. God does not do foolish things. He doesn't ask of us anything but simply to believe. And long as they were not out of here, long as the doors are not closed and the bride is not gone, we are increasing and increasing and increasing. One day soon, you will simply know that you know. See, that's it. And it is. And you know something? Your testimony is the testimony of thousands, but you'll know something that the other thousands don't know. That yours is based upon a vindicated word that's going to put you in a rapture. You could be healed 1,000 times and miss the rapture. You can live God's laws like many people do by tithing and giving and become a legitimate millionaire. You can give your body to be burned and still miss it. But how can you miss what God says? There you are. Lord bless you. Let's rise. Saturday night, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock is at 7:30 because put watching in takes a long time. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your kindness to us. Lord, we know we could just go over and over in many messages. Brother Branham preached, they all say the same thing, that you are a gracious and wonderful God that thoroughly exposed yourself by your wonderful works to the view of the people. And there's only one pronouncement we can really make. And that is that you are a wonderful, wonderful Lord, that you should condescend to do this, and we are so grateful. And we marvel, Lord, that you gave us the opportunity to see it and to open our eyes to it. And we are indeed sorry, Lord, for those who do not see it and do not understand, and we pray for them, Lord. And ask, O God, that as the Apostle Paul was so worried about his own brethren that had the adoption to whom you came after the flesh, and who had the written word and the ministry, had all of those things were missing, were blinded to it. And he said, Lord, if I could die for them in their stead, I'd do it. But we know he could not do it because Jesus died and paid it all. Lord, I just pray today in the sweet spirit of Jesus Christ in this building that there anybody here without Christ, young, old, rich, poor, high, low, no matter what it is, Lord, we don't worry about anybody at all except the condition of the heart. May that heart respond to you and make a full commitment to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, that a genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost come into that person be lit aflame and alive with the Word of God. Father, heal the sick amongst us, Lord. We're glad for the strength you give us, Father. We appreciate it so much. I thank you, Lord, for strength to stand up here and preach. I thank you, Lord, day by day. I ask you, Lord, for more and more strength, not necessarily for myself, though that's fine, but, Lord, that great, the strength for the people, and above all for the people, an inner richness, O God, of soul and spirit and mind, to pass on the Word until it's like a pulsation going through the building, and every heart and mind merged as one, every soul united in this grace and glory of the love and the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, pressing on until one day we all get out of here, stand in your presence, Lord, at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Father, it's just wonderful to know that something real is absolutely true. And it's getting realer all the time, Lord. We don't need Brother Branham's vision. Well, that was wonderful. He got up there and came back. We don't need it. We don't need the vision about what these other things are, Lord. But we do need what came out of it, which is that lovely word, the faith in. Bless each one, Father God, we pray. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus.